Gemara picks up on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara had said before that in year two of Artaxasta, he had been a tzaddik. He was a kosher king, but already in year seven, when Ezra went up to Eretz Yisrael, he was already hichmitz. He had gone bad, and that's how he answered the stira in the Gemara's, where the Gemara seems to say originally that we're dating him back to Nisan. Then the Gemara had said that he was a melech kosher, and yet we prove from the psukim in Ezra that it can't be that he was being dated to Nisan, because that would have transitioned over to year 8, and yet the pasuk only says it was year 7. So the Gemara answered that he was kan lifnei kodem shehichmitz kan la'acher shehichmitz. So the Gemara says meskiv maskiv la Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked a question: did he actually go bad? The haksiv, but we have a pasuk which suggests that he actually was never corrupted. So the Gemara says the pasuk says umachashchan. What do they desire? Top of dalon amar aleph. Whatever they desire, they turin if they want shores, if they want ox, v'dichrin if they want rams, v'imrin if they want sheep, le'elon le'lo shmai, in order to bring up to the God of the heavens, chantin if they want wheat, melach, salt, chemar, wine, umashach, oil. K'maimar kahana di Yerushalayim, whatever the kohanim of Yerushalayim say, whatever they want, l'chu misyavis lahem yom b'yom di lo shalu, it will be given to them, day by day, without any restraint. So we see from this pasuk that doesn't seem like this king had gone bad. He was willing to give them whatever they wanted. So Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Rebbe, he says this to Rav Kahana, who asks the question. He says, Rebbe, mitunach, from your very burden, meaning from the very question that you're asking me based on this pasuk, I can prove to you from the following pasuk that in fact he did go bad, because the pasuk says, di lahon mahakrivin nichuchen lelo shmaya, the karbanos, the pleasing karbanos that they brought to, that they would bring to the God of the heavens, as long as, this is the king talking, as long as they daven for the life of the king and his children. So we see that the reason why the king was willing to give them all these things that they desire was because he ultimately had personal motives, and he wanted them to pray for his own life and for the life of his children. So we see that really the guy wasn't the tzaddik at all. Really, he was going bad, and the reason why he was giving him all these things was because he had personal motives. So says the Gemara, well, is that such a bad thing? You want to tell me somebody who does something like this is not a good thing? But we have a brisa that says, ha'omer sela zulu tzedaka, should a person say, I'm giving this coin to tzedaka b'shvil sheyichyu banai, in order that my children live, b'shvil she'eska b'lechayelam haba, or that I should get all Haba for it, haray it's a tzaddik gamur. That is a tzaddik gamur, meaning if a person gives tzedakah, if a person does a mitzvah for personal motives, that's still considered a tzaddik gamur. So what's the problem here with the fact that the king said, I'm willing to give you everything that you want as long as you daven for my life and as long as you daven for my children? There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with doing such a thing. So the Gemara says, lo kasha kan b'Yisrael kam da over the kochavim. When the Gemara says that a person gives tzedakah, and he says, I'm giving tzedakah bishvil sheyichyu banai, um bishvil she'ezke l'chayelam haba, that's a Jew talking. And when a Jew gives tzedakah, when a Jew does a mitzvah, he doesn't have, even though he has personal motives in doing that mitzvah, he never regrets it. So even when he's doing the mitzvah, even if things don't work out for him in the end, he doesn't regret having done the mitzvah, because he realizes the value of the mitzvah itself. But when it comes to the Ummah Sa'olam, like in this case, when it comes to the king who was willing to give all these things, he was willing to give these things because he figured that these things would help him and would help his children. But of course, when it comes to a non-Jew, should things go bad for him, then he immediately regrets the mitzvah that he did, because he doesn't place any value on the mitzvah itself. So when it comes to Ummah Sa'olam, who do mitzvahs only so that things work out for them, when things don't work out for them, they regret it, and that's not considered a tzaddik. That's not considered something that is admirable. When it comes to a Jew, he does mitzvahs anyway, and even if things don't work out for him, he doesn't really, he doesn't regret the mitzvahs that he did. So this is the first makor, this is the first source that we have that in fact he went bad, and the raya is, the proof is that that he was doing it for ulterior motives. The Gemara now suggests a second reason. There's going to be a total of four, and the Gemara here suggests a second reason. The second makor is v'ibois ema minalan ve'echmitz. How do we know that he went bad? Dichsev, because it says in the pasuk nidbach in the even galal tlasa v'nidbach di'achada. This is a pasuk based in Ezra, where the king is giving instructions for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, I want you to build Nidbach and the Yevne Galal Tlasa, three rows of stone, V'nidbach the Achadas, and one row of wood. V'nafkasa min Beis Malka Tisyahiv. And all of the payments, all of the expenses should be paid out of the Beis Melech, all the houses, all the expenses should be paid from the king's house. So says the Gemara, why did he suggest that the instruction should be three rows of stone and one row of wood? Lamalei l'David hachi. Why did he do such a thing? Savar, because he figured, I mardu bi Yehudai, if the Jews rebel against me, ikloy benura, then what I'll do is I will light the Beis HaMikdash on fire and I'll burn it down with the wood, with the one row of wood that I instruct to put in the Beis HaMikdash. I'll be able to burn down the Beis HaMikdash. So we see who has actually had bad motives in constructing the Beis HaMikdash, because he had intentions ultimately to burn it down if there was any rebellion that he felt the Jews were doing against him whatsoever. So the Gemara says, but that doesn't make any sense, because when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he did the very same thing. Atu Shlomo Lavad Hachi, did Shlomo not do the very same thing? V'haksiv, but it says in the Pasuk, Shlosha Turei Gazis, V'tur Chad Karsus Arazim. Shlomo built the first Beis HaMikdash with three rows of stone and one row of cedar wood. So we see that Shlomo HaMelech also built it the very same way. So why? How can you bring me a raya that the king had done bad by instructing to build the Beis HaMikdash with one row of wood when Shlomo HaMelech in fact did the very same thing? So the Gemara says, Shlomo avad milmala v'yu avad milmata. We have a Kabbalah that Shlomo, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he did it with three rows first. The first three rows were of stone and the fourth row was of wood. Yet, the king, when he instructed to build the Beis HaMikdash, he instructed that the first row be wood. And therefore, should he decide to burn down the Beis HaMikdash, the entire yesod, the entire foundation, would fall through and everything would collapse. And so that's how we know he had negative intentions. Furthermore, Shlomo Shake Bibinyana, Shlomo had inserted the wood into the structure of the into the stones. So he didn't use, it wasn't that Shlomo built a complete row of wood, but rather he had sunk the wood into the structure of the stones, and therefore it was protected from being burned down. But Ihu Lo Shake Bibinyana, but when he instructed, when he, the king, instructed that Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, be rebuilt, so he did not say anything about inserting the wood into the stone itself, and therefore he had instructed that the entire row be wood and would be easily flammable if he decided to burn it down. Thirdly, Shlomo sadia besida, ihulo sadia besida. Shlomo also coated the wood in sid, in mortar, in tar, or whatever, cement, and he did not do that. So Shlomo was protecting against fire, and he was actually building one that could light on fire. So this is the second makor that we see that the Melech went bad, because he had instructed that the Beis HaMikdash be built with a full row of wood. The third source that we have here is Rav Yosef Itim Rav Yitzchak Amar Minalam De'echmitz. How do we know that he went bad? Mihacha, from the following pasuk. Vayom Li HaMelech. This is the source that we had before from Nechemya on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. This is where the Artachshasta was speaking to Nechemya, and he said, Vayom Li HaMelech. Said the king said to me, V'hashagel Yoshev Esetzlo, and the Shagel was sitting next to him. My Shagel. What is this Shagel? Amar Rav Barlema, we have a tradition. The Rav Barlema says, Mishmir the Rav in the name of Rav Kalbasa, it's a dog. So this Shagel was a dog, meaning the king had a dog that he slept with, and so we see that he was a corrupt king, because he, as Rashi points out, that even a Ben Noach is not allowed to cohabitate with a dog. So this king was doing so, and so we see that he was a corrupt king. So it says the Gemara Elamiata, but if you're going to tell me that a Shagel is in fact a dog, how do you read the following pasuk? Hadachsiv, when Daniel is talking to the king, and he's rebuking the king about using the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, Daniel says to the king the following: Val marash maya hisramamta, you have become haughty in front of the king of the heavens. Ula lamanya divese haisav kadamach, and the kelim of his Beis HaMikdash you brought in front of you. Va'at, and you, v'rab ravanach, and your soldiers, your officers. Shageltach, your shagel. Ulachanesach, and your concubines. Chamra shasin bahon, they're drinking wine in these kelim. So says the Gemara of Ishagel, if you're going to tell me that a shagel is kalbasa, is a dog, then kalbasa bas mashtaya chamrahi. You want to tell me that a dog drinks wine? Of course not. The pasuk seems to be saying that him, the king, and his officers, and his shagel, which we're assuming is a dog, and his concubines were all drinking wine, but a dog doesn't drink wine. So a shagel must not be a dog. It must be its classic interpretation, which is a queen. So how can you tell me that a shagel is a dog based on this? The Gemara says, no, halokasha. It's not a question at all. The milafala vishasya, you can train a dog to drink. And that's what he was doing. He was training his dog to drink wine. And so, in fact, the pasuk is, as we thought it was, that a shagel is a dog, and he was feeding his dog wine. Elamayata, but if you're going to tell me again that a shagel is a dog, Dichsiv, that which it says in the pasuk where the Jews, the Bnei Yisrael, are going to be rewarded for their dedication to Torah learning, where the pasuk says Benos Malachim Bikrosecha, the daughters of kings will be miyakir you, they will treat you kindly, and they will treat you as a precious people, nitzva shagel leminecha, and a shagel will stand to your right side, bekesem ofir, wearing golden jewelry from ofir, the ishagel kalbasahi. And if you're going to tell me that a shagel is a dog, maika mavasahu l'navi l'Yisrael, what kind of nevuah, what kind of positive tidings are these to Klal Yisrael, that they're going to have a dog sitting next to them if they're dedicated to the Torah? What kind of thing is that? So the Gemara says, no, you can't really interpret that literally. Hachikamar, this is what the pasuk means to say. Bezchar shechaviv haTorah liYisrael, with the schar that the Torah is beloved to Klal Yisrael, kishagel of the kochavim, like a dog is beloved to an ovid kochavim, zakisim lekesem ofir, you will be zochet to, you will merit a kesem ofir. You will merit wearing this jewelry from Ophir. So really, shagel doesn't mean dog, but it's not the pasuk is not literally saying that a shagel is going to stand next to you, but rather that the comparison to a dog with a non-Jew is like Jews with their dedication to the Torah. The Iboy Seima. So That's how the Gemara answers so far, and that the shagel is a dog, and that's what the Gemara wants to say, that the shagel is a dog, and that's how we know that he went bad. But you might say the following: la'olam shagel malkasahi. Really, generally, a shagel is a malkasa. It's a queen, and the pasuk that refers to him drinking the wine from the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash with his shagel is really referring to the queen, and the pasuk of benos malachim bikur Rosecha is referring to the fact that the queen will stand next to you. Those are not referring to a dog at all. But Rabbi Bar Lema Gamar Gamirla, Rabbi Bar Lema had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe that in this case, meaning in the case of Nehemiah, where the king said to Nehemiah with the shagel next to him, that was actually, he had a Kabbalah that was actually a dog. V'amai karli shagel, if it was a dog, why in fact does the pasuk call it a shagel? Why don't you just call it a dog? So the Gemara says, shahaisa chaviv alav kishagel, because it was as precious to him, it was as beloved to him as a queen. Meaning normally a king holds his queen very precious, but here he had a dog, and he held his dog as precious as a queen. Inami or shehoshiva b'makom shagel. He actually put the dog in the place of a queen, meaning the queen normally sits right next to the king, and he had placed his dog. He had treated the dog with such honor that he put the dog next to him as he would put a queen next to him. So that's the third makor that we know that he went bad, because he had a dog. He was sleeping with a dog, and that's obviously a very corrupt thing to do. Iboy Seima, the fourth raya, the fourth makor that we have that he went bad is, Midalan de Echmitz, how do you know he went bad? Mehacha, from the following pasuk in Ezra that says, Ad kesef kikar meyavad chantin kurin. I'm willing to give you, says the king. We had learned before on the top of the daf that the king was willing to give an unlimited amount of resources towards the Beis HaMikdash. But suddenly, a parak later in Ezra, he cuts back on how much he's willing to give. Ad kesef kikar mei, I'm only willing to give you 100 kikar kesef, ad chantin kurin meya, and I'm only willing to give you 100 kor of wheat, ad chamar batin meya, and 100 jugs of wine, bat batin mashach meya, and 100 jugs of oil, umalach dilo kasev, and salt that is unspecified, an unspecified amount of salt. So we see from here that whereas before the king was willing to give a lot, now he's not willing to give so much. He's cutting back on how much he's willing to give, and therefore we see that he had gone bad. Says the Gemara, meikara b'lo kitzusa b'hashav kitzusa. Initially he was giving a unlimited amount, and now he's starting to cut back, so we see that he's gone bad. Says Gemara, that's not a good raya, that's not a good proof that he went bad, because Vidoma Mikarlo Havakim Lebikitsusa. Maybe initially when he had decided he was going to give an unlimited amount, that's only because he didn't know how much resources were necessary for the Beis HaMikdash. But then when he plugged the figures and he calculated how much was actually necessary, so then he came to a certain amount, and he said, this is what you're going to need. So you can't swing a raya that he went bad just because he specified an amount, because initially, maybe he didn't have the amount that calculated. And then he figured out how much he actually needed. So it says, Gemara Elam Chavarta, clearly, Kedashnin and Meikara. It's as we learned initially, meaning the first three makoros that we had, that he went bad. One was the fact that he was doing it for alternative purposes, for personal reasons. And the second one is that he was building the Beis HaMikdash with a row of wood. And the third one is that he had a dog next to him. Those three reasons are good, but the fourth one is not a good makor. That's not a good source, because you can always say that maybe he had just gone from an unspecified amount to a specified amount because he later learned how much was necessary for him to contribute. That's the end of the discussion when it comes to Malachim. The Mishnah continued and said that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim, for holidays. Now the Gemara is going to analyze that. The Gemara says, Regalim, Be'ech B'Nisan, you want to tell me that Regalim, when it comes to holidays, that's on the first of Nisan? That's not true. We know that Pesach is not on the first of Nisan, Be'chamisha Asa B'Nisan, it's on the 15th of Nisan. So why are you telling me that the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim, for holidays, is the first of Nisan? It should be Pesach, which is the 15th. And Amar of Chizr, Rav Chizr said, you're right. The Mishnah is not precise. The Mishnah does mean to say, it should say, actually, it should say the 15th of Nisan. And so Rav Chisda reinterprets the Mishnah. He says, Regel, it's the holiday, meaning Chagamatzos, Pesach is the holiday, Shebo, that in it, in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the month of Nisan, which starts with the first, Rosh Hashanah l'Regalim. So Pesach is a Rosh Hashanah for Regalim. It's just that Pesach is in Nisan. So the Mishnah kind of, without being too specific and too detailed, was actually talking about Pesach, and it's actually talking about the 15th of Nisan. So now why do we care? The Gemara says, why do we care? What's the nafka mina? What is the practical difference as to why we have a Rosh Hashanah for Regalim? Why do the holidays need a Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, the practical difference, nafka mina, is lenoder. If a person makes a neder, he makes a neder that I'm going to give X amount to the Beis HaMikdash. He makes a neder, I'm going to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. So if a person were to make that neder, then lemeka male bebalta acher, we need to know, when does he violate delaying that neder? Because we know the Torah says, lo sa'acher l'shelmo, you're not allowed to delay giving your neder. So if a person makes a neder and says, I'm going to contribute XYZ to the Beis HaMikdash, then he only has a limited amount of time in order to actually contribute it. And beyond that time, he violates the Isser of delaying. So how do we know? When does he violate that Isser of delaying? That's where the holidays come in. Rabbi Shimon he, and this goes like Rabbi Shimon, as we're going to explain. Desanya, because we have a brisa that says, Echad anoder, whether a person makes a neder and saying that I'm going to contribute whatever I can be sold for in the marketplace. Let's say I'm worth $100,000. So if a person is willing to pay $100,000 for me, so that's my value, and I'm willing to give that to the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'echad ha-maktish, if a person maktish something, if he makes something kodesh, something holy, anything in his house or anything in his possession, he makes holy to the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'echad ha-marech, if a person makes an erech says, he says, the value of plonia, the value of a certain person, which the Torah has a certain values when it comes to certain people. So, for example, if a male person that is of a certain age will have certain value. The Torah places a value on a certain person depending on his gender and depending on his age. If a person makes that erech and says, the erech, the value of plony of this person, I'm going to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash, that would be another type of contribution that he can make. And any one of these three contributions, Kevin Sha'avra Lav Gimel Regalim, once three regalim, three holidays pass on him, over Babal Ta'acher. The Tanakhama says, once three holidays pass, any three holidays pass, he violates the Isser of delaying. Rabbi Shimon says, Gimel Regalim Kasidron. It's three holidays, but they're three holidays in order. The Chag HaMatzos Tchila. And Chag HaMatzos, meaning Pesach, is the first of that order. And so Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai used to say, regalim, when it comes to holidays, pa'amim gimel, sometimes you can violate lo sa'acher, the iser of delaying, if you only go through three holidays. Pa'amim dalet, and sometimes it takes four holidays, and pa'amim chamisha, sometimes it takes five holidays. Ketzad, how so? How does this work out? Nadar lifnei ha-pesach, if a person makes a neder, he says, I'm going to contribute X, Y, Z to the Beis HaMikdash, but he does it right before Pesach, so then gimel, says the Gemara, then once he allows three holidays to pass, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, he's violated Lo Sa'acher because he started with Pesach, and according to Rav Shimon, the holidays have to be in the order of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in order for you to violate. And therefore, if a person makes a neder right before Pesach, then once Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot pass, he's violated Lo Sa'acher. But lifnei Atzeres, if a person makes his neder before Shavuos, then all of a sudden, Chamisha, then he's actually got five holidays to go until he violates Lo Sa'acher. Why? Because if he makes the neder right before Shavuos, then he has to wait Shavuos, Sukkot, and then a brand new cycle, which starts with Pesach. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So you see, there's five. Shavuos, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. That's five holidays that he has to actually go through. Because he made the neder after Pesach, before Shavuos, he has to go through a whole round of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So it actually takes five holidays for him to violate the Isser of Lo Sa'acher. Lifnei Achag, if he were to make the neder before Sukkot, Chag referring to Sukkot, so then Arba, then it would take four holidays for him to violate the Isser of Lo Sa'acher, the holiday of Sukkot, and then the round of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Because, of course, according to Rabbi Shimon, you need to have the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. It needs to be in that order. And therefore, if a person makes the neder before Sukkot, he has to actually go through the first Sukkot and then go through another round of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in order for him to violate. And that makes four chagim. We will stop here.